listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
You would open up your Bibles first to Isaiah chapter 6. Now, we're doing a series called I Am, and the whole purpose of this series is to talk about our identity, who we are. Now, a lot of times in life, we identify ourselves with a lot of different things. We talked last week how maybe we identify ourselves with our parents. We identify ourselves with what we do for a living. A lot of people identify themselves with their hobbies, right? Paul this morning is wearing an Auburn shirt. Some of you, Fran's got on her houndstooth today. She tried to get me to touch it, and I told her that's kind of like poison. I can't even put my hands on that kind of stuff. I don't want to lose the anointing. And so, Pastor Marcus last night after the ball game, Pastor Marcus is a big Alabama fan, and he came over to Paul and Vicky's house. We were over there, and he walked in, and the first thing he said is, Fire Saban, I'm ready for him to go. He's a loser, you know. I said, man, it's just one game. He said, well, you're okay, you'll survive. But we identify ourselves like that. You know, we identify ourselves with the football team. We identify ourselves with all kinds of things. But I'm going to tell you today, no matter what you want to find yourself identifying yourself with, you can't get away from identifying yourself with the Word of God. God has a destiny and a purpose and an identity just for you. It's up to you to find it in this Word. We said last week out of the book of Psalms that the Bible says that His Word is a lamp unto our path. And we said that word path literally means it's a course of life. It doesn't just mean just an actual pathway. It means your course of life, your identity, who you are, your character, your morals. And the Bible is a lamp to show you the way that you should go. It shows you who you are. It's not a matter of what you do. It's a matter of who you be, as we said last week. Amen? So let's look in Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to look let's just start at verse 1, and we're going to read a little passage here, one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible. And it says, verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim, which are angels, each one had six wings, with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone." I think we would all say that at that point. "Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. He said, Behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me." Today, I want to talk to you about being called. Being called. Today, I want everybody to say this. I want you to say, I am called. I am called. You know, a lot of times we don't think about that. We think about someone being called as the preacher or the missionary or you know, that person that's in full-time paid ministry positions. But I want to tell you something today. Everybody in this room has been called by God. Everybody in here, God is speaking to you today. He's saying, who will go? Who can I send? And it's up to us today to say, here I am, send me. God has called every one of us. Perry was asking me the other day, she said, and speaking of Perry, she's not just skipping church today, but Thursday, Colt, my youngest, he started throwing up Thursday. And so I sent him to school like a good dad, and he threw up at school. So then I had to go get him, and so he threw up a little bit on Thursday, and then yesterday we got home from football, and when we got home from football, Gabriel started throwing up. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, Emma started throwing up. And so so I left them all at home today. I said, y'all are quarantined at that house, and I'm going to go to church, and so I'm feeling a little bit queasy right now. So you guys, just if you're on the front row, I'm just saying, I'm glad to see nobody sat up here today. They knew better. They knew better. They gave me two rows right here to work with. So I'm going to just preach right here. And oh, something's happening. So Perry's not here today. But the other day, Perry was telling me, she said, how do you know, when were you called into the ministry? How did you know you were supposed to go into the ministry? And I just said, you know, I don't know that I can pinpoint one specific time that I feel like I was called. I really think throughout the course of my life, I remember instances where, and this is a key word for the day, where I would have compassion over a certain area. I remember as a kid going on or living in other countries or going on missions trips. I did a lot of traveling as a kid, and I remember seeing kids that had nobody to tell them about Jesus. I remember we would bring churches in from the United States when we lived in Guatemala, and they would build a church and help the pastor, but nobody was there to help the little kids. And I always thought, you know what, I've got a compassion. I didn't know it was compassion at the time, but I've got a compassion in my heart to do something for little kids. I remember seeing teenagers in various places and thinking, man, I just really feel like somebody needs to do something for these things. And I remember throughout the course of my life, just odd and end kind of places, just feeling these compassions come up in my heart for people and specific things. Let me tell you something. I didn't have the handwriting on the wall, you are called, light in the bedroom, wake me up in the middle of the night. I didn't have that. I had moments of compassion that the Holy Spirit, I didn't know it at the time, the Holy Spirit was telling me, this is something you've got to do. You need to minister to these people. You need to do something about this situation. I was called through compassion. I was called through compassion. And I'm going to tell you something today. Every one of you can probably pick out moments in your life. You can probably pick out moments this week where you felt a moment of compassion for somebody. Maybe you were watching TV and you saw something on TV and you just begin to kind of get weepy and want to start praying for something. I know Paul and I have been talking about New York City, and we were going to do a video about New York City. We may still be doing it. I can't remember now. We are still doing it. Sorry. We changed so much right before the service today. And we want to help New York City. We want to help the relief effort up there. That was a moment for Paul that was a compassion kind of moment. And let me tell you something. Those moments are the calling of God on your life. Now, not every moment. That doesn't mean that Paul is supposed to go to New York City and be a missionary to New York City. I'm not saying that. But it is God moving on his heart for a specific reason and purpose. So I just want you to know today, you are all called. And my calling, again, came through that. I remember one time sitting down with one of my mentors, and we were talking and just talking about what was I going to do, you know. And I just said, man, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do with my life. I remember time seeing my dad struggle and my mom struggle with the ministry, and I thought, I am not going into ministry. I'm going to get me a job. I'm going to get me a regular job and make some money. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make money and with the least amount of school as possible, because I didn't like school. And that was my plan. And all of a sudden, somebody, we had a need at our church for somebody to work with junior high kids. And you know what? I just said, I've got a heart. I've got a compassion. That compassion welled up inside of me. I said, I got a compassion with those junior hires. I'll go work with them. So as a junior in high school, I was the junior high pastor. I didn't know what I was doing. I ended up feeding kids cat food, thinking it was funny. And I'm sure parents got mad at me. But we had kids get saved, and we had the ministry grew, and we had a lot of fun working with junior hires. Then one time I started working with teenagers. And then at one point while I was working with teenagers, I saw that we had a need in children's ministry, and we had other people that could do youth ministry. So I stepped over and did children's ministry. I've done a little bit of everything in my life, but all of it was because I had a moment or a time of compassion for a certain group of people. And so that's kind of how my ministry has evolved. But let me tell you, today you are chosen as well. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I love this because God never says in here, in His Word, that there are certain people that are better than others. Right? He doesn't say Gabriel is better than you because he is paid by the church. Look, I'm lucky and blessed to be paid by the church. The fact is, if this is my calling, I will still be doing this whether I'm paid or not. Right? I am no different than you. We are all called the exact same way. My job title may be different than yours, but we're all called. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says that there are, he talks about the fivefold ministry of the church, right? Pastors, apostles, evangelists, teachers, and what was the other one? Pastors, apostles, prophets. Pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. He says, this is the fivefold ministry of the church. And a lot of times people say, oh, that's great. Look at those guys. But then it backs that up by saying, and their job is to teach everybody else how to do the work of the ministry. So that we're all involved together. We all work this calling thing together. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Isn't that neat right there that He doesn't say you have to be special, you have to be somebody? He says, you are a chosen generation. You are chosen. You are set apart. You are called. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm eating stuff sometimes, like if someone gives me a whole bunch of food, sometimes I will take my favorite thing in that plate and I will separate it from everything else because I want to savor that, right? I want that. I want to make sure I eat that. I don't want it mixing in with all the other stuff. I don't want my green bean juices getting on my corn casserole. I love corn casserole. I don't like those two things mixing. So I like to separate that out. Can I tell you something today? God has called each and every one of you. And that word called means to be set apart. It means God said, you are my favorite, Eleanor, and I'm going to set you apart. This whole group in here, you are a chosen generation. You are called. You are special. And I am separating you from everybody else. I'm pulling you aside because you are that special to me. God wants to separate you. He wants to pull you out. He wants to make sure that you understand that you've got purpose and destiny. It doesn't matter about your parents. It doesn't matter about your job. It doesn't matter about your past. God says you are chosen, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. These are very important things for you to notice. Very important things. Whenever He calls you a royal priesthood, I'm going to tell you right now, I know there's lots of people in this room, and you're thinking, yeah, but God doesn't know what I did. There's no way He's going to call me royal anything. He doesn't know where I came from. I can't be a priesthood. I'm not eligible for that. I love the fact that God doesn't distinguish here who's eligible and who's not. He says all of you, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Then He says a holy nation. Can I say this too? I do not believe, I know God honors and loves the nation of Israel, and that's great. But for our purposes today, that doesn't help us. Right? Because I don't know how many of you are Israeli, but I'm not. And so, I mean, that's wonderful for them, but I need something for me too. I like the fact that God says you are a holy nation. I really believe God is setting us up as Christians, as believers, that we are a whole nation that is holy. What does the word holy mean? Holy, again, means set apart. Set apart for a purpose, for God's use. So it's important for you to understand that today, that you are holy. And you're thinking right now, like I'm thinking right now, no, I'm not. You know, there's lots of stuff wrong with me. But that's not how God sees it. I thank God that He sees through different eyes than we do. Let's look real quick in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. And we're going to get into why are we called and what are we called to do. 2 Timothy. Now, we're going to hang out a lot in 2 Timothy 1:9. We're going to go back and forth on this one. But let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 9. And I'm going to give you three things about your calling that you need to know today. And let's start here. It says, we're going to start in verse 8. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who, talking about God, has saved us and called us with a holy calling. I love this part. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Can I give you three things about your calling you need to know today? Number one, your calling happened before time began. Your calling happened before time began, before you were born, before your parents were born, before the earth was created, you were called. And you're saying, well, that can't even be. But last week we talked about God calling himself, I am, right? God said, my name is I am. And when he calls himself, I am, that means that he can operate in the past, present, and future. He is always. He is every time. And then Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus does the same thing God does. He says, look, I can talk about the past, I can talk about the future, but I am outside of that time frame. Therefore, I can operate in all of it. And then here's the cool thing. We have that same identity of I am. So today, whenever you say, I am called, it's not a matter of you are called because you came to an altar. It's not a matter of you are called because you raised your hand. It's not a matter of you are called because you prayed a prayer. You are called right now before time even began. You are called right now before your mama met your daddy. Can I say something else? You are called even before you sinned last week. And you're thinking, well, that can't be right. Because when I was talking to my friend that's a preacher, they said that they got called after they gave their heart to God. What they said was wrong. They may have understood that calling, but the fact is, before time was, God called you out. God separated you. God said, I've got a purpose and a destiny for you. I've got an identity for you beyond your parents. And that's one thing I love about God, is the fact that he can operate outside of time means we cannot tie our identity to our parents. Because he said, before your parents were born, I called you. So therefore, your identity isn't with them. He called us before we sinned. Therefore, we can't tie our identity to our past. He called us before we even got the job that we have right now. Therefore, we can't tie our identity to that job. He called you before Alabama had a football team. I know some of y'all don't even know there was a time before that. But there was. He called you before that. So therefore, your identity is not tied up in those things. You now have the freedom and the liberty to separate yourself. You may be saying today, I'm not even a Christian. I haven't even accepted Christ. You don't know what I've been doing. It doesn't matter what you've been doing. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. The fact is, you're called. The fact is, you're called. Number two that you need to know is it's not by your ability. It's by his grace. Look in that. It says, in verse 9, it says, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. What is grace? Grace is undeserved favor from God. In other words, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, good or bad. He has grace on you. He calls you anyway. And I know that's hard for a lot of us to comprehend, because if you had a background like I had, my background growing up in a Pentecostal church, I was repenting every service. I got saved every time there was an altar call. I got baptized 5 or 6 times because if they had the water warm, I knew I was a sinner and I was going to hell, right? And so I'm ready to go jump in because something was always wrong with me. But here's what I got wrong. I thought it was by my works that got me into heaven. So, man, that's why I had so much fear of the rapture. Can I tell you something? The rapture is not something we're supposed to be afraid of. Jesus is not someone we're supposed to be afraid of. But for some reason, the way I grew up, I felt like Jesus was the boogeyman, and at any moment, he was going to come get everybody else and not get me, right? I was so scared. I remember plenty of times coming home to an empty house. One time I came home, and house was empty, and right away I knew the rapture had happened, but I thought, I'm going to go check just to make sure. So I ran up, and at the time we lived literally in the church parking lot. Not just like out in the church parking lot in a tent, but like our house was right there surrounded by the church parking lot. So I went up to the church, and I walked in the door, and the church was unlocked. Well, the church is never just unlocked with nobody in there. So I walk in, I'm looking around. Surely my parents are in here, or at least they're close, you know, from where they got raptured. And I'm looking around for them, and I can't find my parents. I'm calling out to them, Mom, Dad, you know. At this point, no one answers. The lights are all on in the church. I am freaking out. I went running home, man. I'm calling every Christian I know. You know, and half of them aren't picking up their phone. Oh, God, this is it, you know. Finally, this one lady picks up her phone. And I said, oh, Thank you, Jesus. I know I'm good. I'm good. She's still here. And even to this day, sometimes if I get a little bit worried, it kind of creeps back in. I go check, make sure my kids are, yeah, Colt's there, so we're good, because God's not going to leave Colt. He might leave Colt. He's not going to leave Gabriel, though. Gabriel's a good kid, but I'm just teasing. It's by His grace, not by your works, that you're called. You need to remember that whenever you fall apart, whenever you mess up, whenever something happens, whenever the enemy tries to remind you of your past, you need to remind him it doesn't matter. Like at the end of the day, it doesn't matter about my past. It matters about my calling, that God has called me not according to my past, but according to His grace. It's not about your ability. Look, I was called before, and some of y'all may say I don't have that good of ability to talk, but I was called before I knew I could get up in front of people and talk. So it's not about my ability. That doesn't make me called. It just, my ability is what it is. I mean, if I wasn't preaching, I'd probably be somewhere else talking in front of people. Pastor Shane, who wasn't here today, he skipped out on us. He's on vacation, I guess. He was called before he knew he could play a guitar. Well, that guitar, his ability is just a bonus to the calling. I think sometimes we look at the ability as the calling, and then everything else is bonus. But that's what gets so many people in trouble, especially preachers. And that's why preachers end up falling, because they think it's about their ability and they forget that there's a calling on their life that they've got to guard and protect and watch out for. It's by His grace. So number one thing you need about your calling is you were called before time. Number two, you were called by His grace, not by your abilities. And number three, you are called with a purpose. The Bible says in that same passage, it says, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. His own purpose and grace. So what is the purpose of Jesus Christ? What is the purpose of our calling? See, we all have a purpose. There's always a reason we are called. God didn't just say, I'm going to set you apart and then just leave you there. He called you for a reason. So look in 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. They're going to try and follow me as best they can. Kim will. But Kim knows now that I have changed my notes around from the time I gave her my notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors. I want you to underline that word ambassador. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you now on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Look, where it says we are ambassadors, if you change that to singular, it would say what? I am an ambassador. There's part of your identity right there. So today we're learning, number one, I am called. Number two, I am called for what? To be an ambassador for Christ Jesus. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody that represents with all authority, with all power, with all say-so, they represent someone else. See, Christ is not here, right? We've got His Holy Spirit living inside of us, sure, but Christ Himself is not here. Therefore, we must be His ambassadors with all authority. Oh, but Gabriel, you don't know. I can't have that authority. I'm not good enough. But it's not by your works. It's by His grace that we are called. So therefore, we are called to be His ambassadors with the same authority, the same power, the same identity that Christ has, the same purpose that Christ has. We are called to be His ambassadors here on this earth. Therefore, we represent Jesus everywhere we go. Now, that's going to change the way we cheer for our football team. That's going to change the way we are at home when no one else is around. That's going to change the way we are at work. Any of y'all ever had those kind of friends that you would see them at church on Sunday and they're one way, but then whenever they get to work on Monday, they're somebody else? It's not that they're bad people. It's that they don't recognize their identity as the ambassador of Christ to their job. And we must represent Jesus everywhere we go. We represent Christ in the way we treat our spouse. We represent Christ in the way we treat our kids. We represent Christ in the way we drive our cars. Ooh, that might hurt my feelings a little bit. I never liked that guy that said you're not allowed to speed, because I do like, on occasion, to go above the speed limit just a little bit. I'm not fast, just a little bit above. It's by His grace, not by my works. But for real, we represent Christ. We are His ambassadors. And listen, because of that, because we represent Christ, then we need to watch the way we talk. Now look, not just don't say anything bad. That should be a given, you know, like we should already know not to say bad stuff. And we know we will all at some point say something stupid. We all do it. But watching the way you talk is speaking the good things that Christ would say. Remember those bracelets that became a fad, but they said WWJD, and then you see like people on TV wearing them, and you're like, yo, I know you're not doing what Jesus would do. Like, I can see your mouth moving, so you're not. But the thought behind it was really good, in that we must do the things that Christ would do because we are His ambassador. I can't imagine somebody being an ambassador of the United States and going to another country and not acting like they would in the United States. I can't imagine them going over there and not representing the United States well. You know what happens to people that do that? They get fired or reassigned. Look with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8 for just a second, and then I'm going to give you a couple of practical thoughts. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This is really good. It says, "And we know that all things work together for those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose." There that is again. We're called according to His purpose. "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." Can you underline that right there? Predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren. "Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified." I want to stay there for just a quick second and talk about our purpose again. Our purpose is to be an ambassador. Our purpose is to be the image of Jesus Christ on earth. You've heard the old adage, you may be the only Jesus that some people see. Can I tell you something? That is an awesome responsibility. You may be the only Christ. The way you treat your spouse may be the only way that somebody else sees Jesus in a marriage. The way that you treat your kids may be the only way people see Jesus in parenting. The way that you are at work may be the only way people see Jesus at your specific job. You are called. You are set apart. You are chosen today, not by your works, way before time began. You are chosen to be the image of Christ on this earth. You are chosen to be the image of Christ everywhere you go. I like the story of the Good Samaritan. If you weren't here Wednesday night, I preached a message about the Good Samaritan. I called him the Great Samaritan, though. But I like the story of the Good Samaritan, and we're not going to go into the word on this one. I'm just going to tell you the story. But I like it because it has to do with us today. It has to do with our identity. It has to do with this. The story starts out really a few verses ahead, when they started asking Jesus, what is the most important commandment of all of them? And Jesus tells them that there's two commandments that are the most important, right? There's two things you need to tie your identity to more than anything else. And that's number one, love God with everything you got. And number two, love people in that same manner. He says, well, let me give you an example. There was a Samaritan, and he starts talking about this Samaritan. He talks about a Jewish man that was beat up, that was stripped of all of his clothes. And we said Wednesday night that whenever someone takes all of your clothes from you, it's like they're taking your identity away from you, right? If someone is a plumber, they dress like a plumber. If they're a soldier, they dress like a soldier. But if you remove that, then you can't tell what they are. And so they removed this man's clothing. They beat him. They left him for dead in a ditch. It says a couple of church people walk by, and they walk by on the other side of the road. They don't have anything to do with it. But it says a Samaritan who really should not like the Jew because they're kind of there's animosity there between the Samaritans and the Jews. The Samaritan came, and the Bible says he went to where the man was, bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine on his wounds, and then took the man on his own horse to the innkeeper and took care of him there and left him with the innkeeper. Can I tell you something today? That is an excellent excellent representation of what we are supposed to be. What that purpose Jesus is talking about. That purpose that he's talking about is this. We are to be the Good Samaritan. We are to find those that are hurting, those that are broken, those that are without, and we are to go meet them where they are. That's why I say all the time, don't come up in here praying for God to bring people in. Pray that God gives you the ability to go get them and you bring them in. The innkeeper didn't call out to the man on the side of the road. It was the Samaritan that took the man, put him on his horse, and took him to the innkeeper. Let me tell you something today. We are supposed to be like the Good Samaritan. We're supposed to go find them, meet people where they are. If they're on the street, meet them on the street. If they're at your job, meet them at their job. If they're in your family, you meet them there. And you bind up those wounds. You minister to them. You help them. You can look at that a couple of different ways. Maybe you minister to them spiritually. Maybe you minister to them physically. I think we forget that sometimes, that God is calling us to not only meet the spiritual needs, but to help with the physical needs as well. Sometimes people just need somebody to listen to them. They're tired of someone preaching at them. Sometimes people just need, they just need lunch. They need somebody just to buy them some lunch. And you say, well, yeah, but they're going to waste my money. They might. But at some point, don't we have to meet the needs of people? And then he says he took him to the innkeeper. Who's that innkeeper? Now, there's a couple of different ways you can translate that story. Some people say the innkeeper is the Holy Spirit. I like that. I like that way of looking at it. But for my purpose today, I want to tell you that innkeeper is Jesus. You can go meet their needs, and that's good. But we talked about Wednesday night that the Bible says he bound up the wounds. Now, what are wounds? Wounds are outside, right? Wounds are something on the outside. But there are things called bruises that identify pain on the inside. And can I tell you, that may be way above your head. So what do? You help them with everything you can help them with, and then you take them to Jesus, and you let Jesus deal with the inside. You let Jesus deal with everything else. You let Jesus clean them up. You let Jesus go minister to them. And that's got to be our purpose today, folks. Our purpose is not necessarily to be a plumber or a contractor or a nurse. Our purpose is not to be a preacher. Our purpose is to go meet people where they are, deal with their needs, and take them to Jesus. That's what we're called to do today. In another parable, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like yeast that was mixed into dough until it filled every part of the dough. Can I tell you today, you are like that yeast, and God wants to mix you in. You're called with the purpose. What is my purpose? Is my purpose to be a lawyer? No. You're called to meet people where they are and get them to Jesus. But God wants to mix you into every part of society. That's why not everybody's called to be a pastor or a apostle or a prophet or whatever. I'm telling you, man, this is a job for me outside of my calling. My calling, if I change jobs, my calling should never change. My calling should always be reach the lost. Now, maybe I'm better at reaching certain groups of people than others, but my calling should always be the same. Jim worked for the railroad for a lot of years, but his calling was not the railroad. God just put him at the railroad as a place of income, as a place of ministry, so that Jim could reach the lost. God has placed you specifically, like the woman placing the yeast in the dough. He's placed you specifically in your place of employment or in your family or in your neighborhood for a reason, and that is to win the lost, to fulfill the purpose of Jesus Christ. Let me close out with three things. Three things you have to do. If you're taking notes today, we're going to put these on the screen. Three things you have to do today. Now that you kind of understand that you are called and you understand why you are called, right? You understand it's not by your works. You understand it was way before you were even born. And you understand that you're called for a purpose, and that purpose is to reach the lost no matter what your job is. Now you need to do three things. These are three practical applications. Number one, you need to accept your calling. See, a lot of times people don't accept their calling. A lot of times people tell me all the time, well, I felt called at one point in my life. I just didn't do anything about it. You need to accept your calling. Whenever you accept a calling, there's a key word there called responsibility. You've got to have responsibility. You've got to say, God, I understand you are calling me today. You have called me from before I was born, but today I realize that calling on my life. I realize there's something bigger than me I've got to live for. And I've got to accept that calling and that responsibility. The Bible tells the story of three men that were given money by their master. Two of the men took that money, they invested that money and made a profit for the master. But one man took the money and buried the money. So when the master came back, all he had was the same old money, except this time it was dirty. Right? Let me tell you something we do a lot of times is we bury our calling under a mound of excuses. God has called you to do something greater, and you bury it under excuses. You bury it under your past. You bury it under your circumstances. Well, I just don't have the money. Listen, ministering to people has nothing to do with money. Does money make it more effective? Can we do more things with money? Of course we can. But at the end of the day, loving somebody is free. You can love people for free. But we bury our calling under a mound of excuses. And today, God is calling you to accept the responsibility of your calling. He's saying, folks, I have set you aside. You are a chosen generation for a reason. Now accept it. Now take that responsibility and take it seriously. I talked to the Dream Team before the service today, and I told them, I said, you are responsible today for whatever happens in this service. Don't take that lightly. So number one, you've got to accept the calling. Number two, you've got to be prepared for the calling. God has called you, sure, and He's called you from before time, sure, but it's your job to be prepared. I find it interesting that the Samaritan is rolling around town with oil, wine, and bandages. The Bible doesn't say he was a doctor, right? So why is he just riding around on his horse with oil, wine, and bandages? Who does that? Somebody that is prepared. Paul Perry does a men's small group every other Tuesday night, and what they do is they prepare for the inevitable zombie apocalypse. They prepare for whatever, right? And these guys talk about how to be prepared for whatever would happen, you know. And look, I've lived in other countries before. I've seen military takeovers. We've had those times of y'all Americans better stay in your house, lock your doors. Don't you dare leave. You know, I mean, I've been there. I know. And the way our economy is going right now, it can very easily happen to us too. You know, we could have bad things happen. So Paul takes a group of guys. They talk about being prepared. Can I tell you something today? Just because you're called doesn't mean you don't need to prepare for that calling. The Samaritan had oil, wine, and bandages. He was ready at any moment. One of the things that I like to tell people a lot of times is, as God gives you thoughts, you need to write them down. I've got an app in my phone. Sometimes you guys will see me during worship, and you might see me typing on my phone. You think I'm texting somebody. But really, I'm writing down my thoughts that I feel like God has given me into my journal app on my phone. The other day, I had to preach somewhere, and I wasn't prepared in that I didn't realize that I was preaching, and someone said, you know, hey, you got to preach. And so what did I do? I went back into my journal, and I found times when God had spoken to me about specific things, and I thought, man, that is what I need to talk about today. What was that all about? It was about being prepared. I remember my dad used to always teach me, it's always better to give out of overflow. Right? It's always better to be full already, and that way it's easy to pour out. But if you're empty, you've got nothing to give. You and I need to always have something to give people. You may not always have money. I like where Peter and John are going to pray one day, and there's a crippled man, and the crippled man's begging for money, and Peter and John said, look, silver and gold have I none, you know? My wife just went shopping the other day. I got nothing left. He's like, but what I do have? I do have an overflow of the gift of God that I can give you. I can pray for you. There's something I can do for you. We must always be prepared for whatever God is going to put in our path that day. Amen. Can I tell you, for your calling, the number one way to be prepared is to give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. If you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, if you haven't done that part of it, then nothing else even matters. If you look back in 2 Timothy 1:9, the Bible says he saved us and then he called us. Now, he did it all before time began, but Christ wants you saved. He doesn't want you going out and giving something you don't have. He wants you to give whatever's in you to give. You may say, but I haven't been a Christian very long, or maybe this afternoon you're going to give your heart to Jesus Christ whenever we get done with this message, and you're going to accept him, and that's great. But then later you're going to say, I haven't even been a Christian for like 30 minutes, so what do I have to give? You've got that to give. You've got that to give. You just give what you have. Be prepared. The third thing you've got to do. So number one, we accept the calling. Number two, we prepare for the calling. And then number three, we act on the calling. If today you were to look at the book of Acts, the book of Acts is a really good book. But if you look at the book of Acts, you can take the first chapter and the first four verses of the second chapter, and that's about all the preparation you get in this book. You got Jesus talking, saying, hey, you guys need to go pray. You need to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then you got them praying in verse 1 of chapter 2, and you got them being baptized with the Holy Spirit in verse 4. And then after that, the rest of the book is all action. The rest of the book is all action. Every chapter is people doing stuff. Every chapter is people acting on their calling. None of it is preparation anymore. They've accepted it. They've prepared for it, and then they start acting on it all the way through chapter 28. Can I tell you something? The bulk of our life should be made up of action. It's not just about receiving that calling and then sitting on it. It's about acting on what God is doing in your life. As you leave this place today, I truly believe that God is going to give you a compassion in your heart for something. Right? You're going to see somebody. You're going to see something. You may be at a restaurant today, and you may be eating, and you may see the waitress, and you can tell the waitress is hurting. You may tell the waitress is struggling, and God's going to move on your heart today with compassion, and where you normally would give a 15% tip, you're going to give her a 20% tip or a 30% tip. Why are you going to do that? What? Because you're going to act on the compassion that God puts in your heart. You're going to act on the calling of God on your life. You're not going to just sit on it. You're not going to bury it. So you've got to accept it. Then you've got to prepare for it. And then you've got to act on it. So three things we've got to do today. Accept it, prepare for it, and act on it. If you guys want to come back up to the instruments, you can. Let me close this out today. The Bible says that you are a chosen generation. The Bible says you are called from before time began. Everybody say, I am called.
I am called.
You may think your identity today is, I am a sinner. You may think my identity today is, I am a doctor or a lawyer. You may think today my identity is who my parents were. But can I tell you today, your identity is that you are called. You are called. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. You're called. You're chosen and you're set apart. Now, the Bible, I didn't get into all the verses today that I could have and I wanted to, but the Bible says that you're a holy nation. You're set apart for a reason in the purpose. But here's the cool thing. People, the Bible says, will see your lifestyle. They will see how you live. And they will glorify God because of it. They'll see the calling of God on your life. They may never see you preach. They may never see you lead worship. They may never see you greet at the front door. But they're going to see the way you treat your spouse. They're going to see the way you deal with your boss chewing you out tomorrow morning. They're going to see how you do it. And they're going to say, something's different about that person. When I was in high school, we talked about my identity, and when I was in high school, I told you guys I struggled for my first little while, junior high, my first year of high school. I struggled living for God, and I had to switch schools. And when I switched schools, I decided I'm just gonna be a new person. I'm gonna just live my life for God. I'm gonna have as much fun as I can have. And I'll never forget two of the best compliments I ever received when I was in high school. One was, I had a teacher tell me, she said, you are the most different Christian I've ever seen. You have so much fun, and yet you're such a good witness with your life. And then I had a friend of mine say, he told his mom told my mom, and she told me, he said, I know that if anything ever happens to me in my life, I know I can call Gabriel and he'll pray for me, and God will do something. Those are two of the best compliments I ever got. And the reason I love those compliments is because I decided I'm going to live a life different than everybody else. I'm going to be normal. I mean, I'm not going to be, you know, weird and spooky. But I'm going to love God with everything I've got. And I'm going to have a lot of fun doing it. And I want people to see my life before they hear my words. I'm not saying you don't need to witness. You need to witness. But man, let your life shine a light. Let your life be something people desire, so then your words come out and that's just bonus. That's just gravy. Amen? What would happen to this city if we all accepted the calling of God on our life? What would happen to your neighborhood? What would happen to your family today if you accepted the call of God on your life? If you accepted the purpose that He's put inside of you? Let me tell you something. We would change the city. We would change your family. We would change your neighborhood. We would change your kids' baseball team. We would change your school. We would change a lot of stuff. Because whenever we accept that calling, man, it makes an impact on everybody else. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.